What do I do here to click it? No? I'll let somebody else do it. I'll start, you know, get it going. I'm a Mac person. Until you get Apple, you don't have quality here. It must be, I'm comfortable, so it must be very cool in this room, I'll tell you. When I'm comfortable, it's cold. I wasn't here all day yesterday, but I'm still going to probably weave some bottom line conclusions on some of those topics. First, on ag data, big data. The private industry, as usual, is probably ahead of the concerns. Two, I would look at the data mining language in legislation to see if it gives RMA the authority to do that. I don't know whether it does, but I suspect it does. And three, the private industry, which I'm more prone to support since I've always been in private industry, is already out there with ag data services. That's giving some premium products to farmers who sign up. They're ag co-ops. The new type of co-ops is already out there. So my one concern on this is whether some farm groups are going to be so concerned that they'll get the government too involved, and then they'll really screw it up. Because we need this technology for the decades ahead to increase the productivity and to have the right crops and other products. Now, your industry. Now, I know Mary Kay was reported as saying this will be the biggest year of challenge, you know, for the crop insurance industry. Some of the charts I'll give you say this is not only going to be the biggest, but each successive year is going to be a bigger challenge. This is going to be the easy year. This is the easy year. Because as that debt continues to rise, accumulated deficits, they're going to go to low-hanging fruit. And that's where you all are at, okay? And you're already seeing, I think we had a question earlier about that study of your industry. Yeah, if I were you, I'd get a study because those margins, you know, squiggle in your chairs, are very tight right now. And the anti-crop insurance people ought to know that and send that new report to Bruce Babcock. Where's the Bruce Babcock stories now of all that money? Where's the Bruce Babcock story now where, why did John Deere? The John Deere. If they were a bank, they'd be the biggest bank in agriculture. Why did they pull out? It's not as easy as people thought. There's risk involved. So you've got a story to tell, but good news is that you've got farm policy the way you probably always wanted it. Crop insurance, revenue assurance, is an integral part of the safety net now. The bad news is that now you've got a lot of people that's going to come after you because Washington abhors success. They just do. They go where the money, easy money. And when something is subsidized, you know, subsidized at least 62%, you know, it's a magnet. It's a magnet. And if you reduce it a few percentage points, and I've seen farm groups say this, oh, it'll be devastating to the crop insurance industry. Bull. And just the last few weeks or few days, if I were your industry, I would not point out the savings as a result of the 2014 Farm Bill means that you don't have to cut or cut that much because those were just forecasts. The Congressional Budget Office forecast for the 2014 Farm Bill first year is already off by 50%, and it'll have to be off some more once you see those mega payments paid out October 1 in corn and soybean country, okay? So that's going to continue. And another one, before I forget, these are the top things I wanted to tell you right away. Tax reform. That's going to affect some of you big time eventually. It's not going to happen when Obama. You need a leader when it comes to tax reform, and he's not a leader. I'm just say right out front, he's a politician. But you had John Kennedy did tax reform, and Ronald Reagan. He's not in the, even in the same league as those two. But tax reform is coming 2018 or later, 2017, 2018. Now, why is that going to affect some people in this room? You've got some sharp people under the Ways and Means and Finance Committee, and you've got Ken Cook, the Environmental Working Group, has a, now he's in the second of a five-year plan to look at your industry, and they're going to connect the dots. That's why I call connecting the dots. They're going to trace your industry all the way through, not just the U.S. Ooh, what did I just say? You mean, are there advantages of the structure of your industry outside the U.S., of how the financing is and the tax implications? Absolutely. So major changes are going to come to your industry. But be the innovators that you have been. Because as I told you last year, I got nervous when the farm group started to morph a shallow loss program. I still call it shallow loss, because a revenue assurance policy was already out there in your industry, but yet they had to put it into the farm bill. Mistake. Because now you've morphed the two, and something's going to have to change. Now, I'm going to connect all the way through. Economy, always begin with the economy. Employment report came out today. Unemployment went up 0.1 percentage point, 5.7%, up from 5.6% last month. 250,000 job growth. 2014 showed the biggest number of jobs since 1999. Now, Obama has something to crow about there. If he was penalized for the lack of growth, he should get some advantages for that. Now, but does that mean we're going to see increases in interest rates come as soon as June? The world economy becomes important because it's going to be a drag. We're in a deflationary aspects in Europe. Japan has just come out of 20 years of actual deflation. China is decreased. They're nervous right now. They're opening up some more credit valves in their country. Russia is going to have a recession of about 3-4% down. So will the Fed actually increase interest rates in that environment? And as far as agriculture, the value of the dollar. Once you start raising interest rates, it'll make our surging dollar go even higher. And 25% of our pork production is exported. About 18-21% beef. And even dairy right now, certain products, 15-20%. All the analysis that we've done on rising interest rates and the value of the dollar especially is not bullish for U.S. agriculture. So we've got some chains going on here. Wild cards is always international. This is a hard world right now. Putin. You've got Germany and France sitting down with Putin, trying to get an agreement with him on Ukraine. Well, he's under the gun right now because of he's the sanctions are starting to hurt. But we'll see. I never trust a KGB-er. Once a KGB-er, always a KGB-er. The budget. Ooh, now this is big. Again, you'll send your talking points, not to the Aggies. Yes, it's going to help having Pat Roberts as the Senate Ag Committee chairman. Mike Conaway knows agriculture, knows the interrelationships. But I know Mary Kay probably told you in different ways, but I'll tell you this way. There's only, in the House, there's only 34 districts that are primarily rural. There's 195 districts primarily urban. Just do the math, okay? And since 2010, 50% of all the House is new, 45% of the Senate. So now you not only have to educate the Aggies, who need to know the breadth of your industry, but especially the non-Aggies. And your sound bites are important. Again, when any lawmaker hears, 62% subsidy, Well, then they go, well, why shouldn't there be a cap on crop insurance payments? And I know you want to go ballistic when you hear that, like it hurts the, it just hurts the dynamics of a policy, but you better have your facts down there, because that's going to be debated this year, the following year, etc. Because there's haves and have-nots, okay? So I'm trying to give you a clear warning sign that this is just beginning. Debt limit, again, we can go through September, October, before they really, shortly before, you know, the presidential elections, before they have to do something to again increase the debt limit. And they will. I don't see shutdown, countdown to shutdowns. I'll have an election thing right at the end. Obama's State of the Union address. Boy, you talk about a weird State of the Union address. I'll give you some of the aspects of that. Executive orders and power of veto. I thought when I landed here that I should have called him up to not have him announce an executive order to get it warm around here. Okay, that's how much he's used them. But it's significant, because the Republicans are learning again, you cannot govern from Congress. I don't care whether you control both chambers. It's the power of the veto, executive orders, and in the case of Obama, memorandums. He's utilized them more than the executive order. So now, if you did have a Republican president the next time, then you increase the odds that you will have tax reform in 2 to 3 years, and you'll increase a focus on entitlement spending. Because we spend $4 trillion in government. $1 trillion is discretionary spending. $3 trillion is mandatory spending, of which the Farm Bill is one. Where do you think they're going to look? That's exactly where. Entitlement program spending. Now, energy, the same so-called experts who didn't see the fall from $140 a barrel down to about 45, I guess we went to, are now tripping all over themselves to see how low they can forecast. And of course, we've had a 19% increase in the last, you know, few days. I have the foggiest idea where energy prices goes, but I will tell you the technology. You think there's technology in agriculture. You've seen it with the shales, fracking. I'll have a chart later on that says this is not limited to the United States. So what I just told you is we're going to have lower highs and higher lows over the next decade because of the technology in energy. Tax reform, I've already talked about. Trade policy, just to give you an agenda here, TPA is Trade Promotion Authority, or Fast Track. Just given Congress the ability to approve trade agreements in an up or down vote without any amendments. I think he'll get it. And Obama has been good in trade policy, I will tell you that. He's pushed the right things. But the House Speaker John Boehner, Republican from Ohio, says he's going to need at least 30, if not 40, House Democrats to come on board. This is not a cinch to get TPA. Then the new trade agreement called Trans-Pacific Partnership affects at least 40% of the world's GDP, gross domestic product economy. It's big. Now, farm groups always oversell trade agreements, but they're still overall better than not having a trade agreement. Any analysis, and you know, USDA's ERS recently put out an analysis of the TPP. We had a briefing on it, a couple days ago at Informa from ERS. You know, and I tend to be a little jaundiced on these things. I said, what assumptions did you use? The trade agreement is not even through yet. Well, they assume total elimination and all that. And so that's why some of the analysis you see on trade agreements is hogwash. It's not based on reality. TPP is going to be a hard sell. Cuba, Obama was right on that one. We tried 50 years. Remember, we invaded that country. They didn't invade us, okay? And you have so many duplicitous members of Congress from both political parties. You know, Stabenow, former Senate Ag Committee chairwoman. She went over about 3 Saturdays ago to visit Cuba. Okay? Then she comes back and says, boy, we need to sell more here. And then she comes back and says, you know, I may not vote for TPA. It's called automobiles. Well, she shouldn't be ranking chairwoman then of the Ag Committee if she can't even support TPA. Then you have, of course, the Republicans to the far right of Attila the Hun, you know, who say, well, they don't have human rights in Cuba, but yet some of them voted for permanent normal trade relations for China and opening up with Vietnam. I'm not saying those were wrong votes, but you don't point at human relations in Cuba. It's 11 million people, you know? Poultry, U.S. poultry and rice will be the first major commodities going over there. The southeastern states need a little more help, especially in foreign policy, too, because this is an I state foreign policy we have for corn and soybean. Really, 2 I's, not 3, Illinois and Iowa. So people usually say on Cuba, oh, they can't afford it. It's going to take a while, but U.S., Brazil energy companies will pump out billions of dollars of energy off the shores of Cuba. And they'll have enough money to pay the $7 or $8 billion of repatriated funds back to Cuban Americans in time. So what I just told you is this thing should go, and plus I want to buy a condo in Cuba anyway, okay? And God willing, I've got 6.5 years left of my professional career. And I don't even have to go to confession anymore. I'm going to tell you the unadulterated truth as I see it, because I think that's what you want and should have. The only thing that will change, other than health reasons, in 6.5 years, if I get my true dream job, which will be, little secret here, Mary Kay, running the scoreboard for the Washington Nationals. I'm getting higher on the list. I've trained for it. And you think I'll leave this industry for that? Hell yes, where you can drink. Where you can drink, watch a game, right? And put your fingers to use. Anyway, I digress. Mexico sugar, I just want to give you a flavor of what's happening in the business of agriculture. I came Sunday and Monday, was in Long Beach, California, 78 degrees, beautiful. And we have a trade suspension agreement with sugar, with Mexico. I'll just bottom line it. Anyone who understands, it makes my hair hurt trying to understand what's going on. So, but I will tell you, negatives for sugar, concerns that I picked up there. This funny stuff going on with GMOs. A number of buyers of sugar are beginning to ask for GMO-free sugar. And you cannot tell the difference. But if that's going to play out, sugar cane will be favored over sugar beets, because sugar beets uses GMO seeds. So some issues going on there. Foreign policy, current farm bill. I'm already on to the next farm bill, and there will be one. I Googled the other day, and the first few months after every bill, the last 3 to 4, I've seen the stories. Is this the last farm bill? It's going to be hard. Bull. What would Mary Kay or the committees and the subcommittee, what would they do without a farm bill? There's a cottage industry of the farm bill. The next farm bill, I already have a title for it from farmers. I've given a lot of speeches lately, Ohio, Mississippi, etc. The Farm Bill Simplification Act. That's what it is. That's what it is. And if our government allows farmers, after they elect either ARC, the resource, shallow loss, I'm not going to let the corn and soybean people forget that term, or the target price, or PLC, price loss covered. If prices go down lower longer past the first 2 years of that farm bill, 16, 17, and 18, and if they allow farmers who elected ARC over PLC to change their mind, I'm definitely going to go either to Cuba for sure earlier, or I'm going to work for the Environmental Working Group and come out after what's going on, just so you know. Now, this is what Stabenow and others should see. Ag exports. This is why you vote for trade agreements. Now, we had numbers out just the other day that shows the impact of the rising dollar. That surplus is starting to be reduced. But agriculture has a, they're one of the few industries that export more than they import. So if we have Aggies who are going to vote against agreement, that's a shame. National Farmers Union, we had, Roger Johnson. Oh, I don't know how many months ago. Nice guy. But I ask him, Roger, has NFU supported any trade agreement from NAFTA on? And he said, no. So you tell me members of NFU aren't supportive of trade agreements? Whew. Now, there's the dollar. You see, we had a downturn in the dollar. Now you've seen populist senators and representatives say, pointing fingers of currency manipulation. Where were they when we were going through our quantitative easing that masked some of the run-up in the corn and soybean and gave a definite advantage to our meat exports? Now Europe is finally going into their quantitative easing. Euro will probably eventually go near par to the U.S. Canada just lowered their interest rate, so their currency is lower. You're going to bring in more, products from Canada. But yet we raise this currency issue because we're already done with ours, okay? And this is not going to be a good sign. We'll probably have a double top here. We see a trending higher between now and the end of the year, and especially if the Fed increases interest rates in June or September. Look to the far right. Now, President Obama has good talking points when he said, since I took office, this deficit, annual deficits, are down 70%. He's right. It shows you what tax increases can do. But look at the out years, and about the time the next farm bill is going to be debated and have to be approved, the debt starts going up. Okay? The deficit. His budget that he announced February the 2nd raises the national debt $7 trillion, or an increase of 51% from where it is now. Just for perspective, he's not going to be around. He's going to let's spend it. This is happy time. Okay? Now, he got there by tax increase, $320 billion tax increases. And a big chunk of those came from knocking the, stepped-up basis inheritance taxes. You talk about big in agriculture. And then the Democratic Party wonders why about a little over 60% of farmers vote Republican. They wonder why when they're coming after them. And you saw in his budget, they're getting smarter on crop insurance now. They're not going after you meanies out there who make all that money and knock down A&Os. What they did is capping the games played in prevent plant, and then they went after the harvest price election. And then I did some figuring. This year there's just a little over 11,533 revenue policies that have the HPE paying out a subsidy of about 5 million. I think it reached its peak in 2011 with 34,000, policies. That's targeting. They're getting smart. And this is what I'm seeing across the board, people who want to grab some of the money. Doesn't affect that many people, so they won't get much pushback from the voters. See? So that's what you're up against. Smarter thinkers trying to get at your margins. Okay? 12,000 people per day will qualify for Medicare over the next 16 years, 78 million baby boomers, of which I'm one. It's been said at least 80% of all your health care cost in your life is spent your last year of your life. This is why we better have leaders over the next few years, not right away. These numbers don't lie. The debt has not gone away. And that's why entitlement programs, including 62% buy-up subsidies, are going to have to be looked at. The State of the Union, the Democrats saw it as ivory. Really, it was a political speech. Obama wanted to give his Democrats 2016, you know, fodder for the races, and the Republicans always look on donkey meat, you know, recipes. He had the middle class economics, and you're seeing this was really a class warfare speech. But look at agriculture, what's happening. Connect all the dots that you've heard at this meeting, the big data. You know, the most progressive farm, they're just saying, hey, this is the future. Now, tell me where I can gain some money, and I'll sign. I'll actually read the fine print. And as long as I get some return, I want to join your co-op. And trust me, there are co-ops out there. And because I need this, because I can see, you just don't have to get a payment from the data. Farmers are seeing payments of the use of precision agriculture. As these planters now can plant up to 5 to 6 different varieties of seed in one field pass. Illinois, Iowa, and now Minnesota has been tested through Monsanto's field script product. I've talked to those farmers. They're about as excited as that as the initial Roundup Ready soybean because it's in their pocketbook now. So they're seeing it. So they're not going to, they just hope government doesn't get too intrusive. And as far as NASA satellite and crop yields, the closer you get to harvest, the worse the data comes from a satellite. It can't identify. So there's only up to a point that they can use that data. Trust me, InFarm has been in the business for decades. We would have been there by now. His $235 billion in new spending, I told you about the cap on the gains rate. The only reason I may personally want this is for Warren Buffett to actually have to pay the taxes he keeps on saying he really wants to pay. You know, just think about it. All the billions, he gets shielded through the inheritance tax. But now if this thing stepped up basis, ooh, Howie, his son, won't get nearly as much. Okay? So I'm kind of rooting for this. Keystone, all politics all the time, 24/7. The Democrats in the White House have translated Keystone to mean climate change. So it's a pipeline. You know, so okay, big deal. They're not going to get it in time. It'll take a Republican president. It'll get in. Trade policy, I've talked enough about. Veto pen, ready for use. Immigration reform. up to 70% of all workers in the business of agriculture are illegal immigrants. But now his executive order probably has made it worse in agriculture. When you take the time to go to California and listen to the horticulture people and the dairy people, there were some initial estimates reported by some even in this room of 400,000 additional workers. Balderdash. It could go down. Because what's happening is now these seasonal workers that he sanitized are saying, I can get a higher paying job now rather than work on that farm. Mexico right now is actually having to import workers in their country from Guatemala because of their economic pickup in that country. So immigration is going to be a hard issue. The Republicans have to do it. Reason, I've said it before. Every election, Hispanic voters increase 2 percentage points. White voters decrease 2 percentage points. So the Republican Party is going to have to come up with a piecemeal, comprehensive immigration reform. That's the energy sector, how we've gone down. Is it good news for consumers? Yes. Anywhere from, if these low gas prices are sustained to any degree for the rest of this year, it means the impact is $750 to about $1,100. But the key is, will the Americans spend it? It looks, short term, they're saving it. They're saving the money. Europe, I'll tell you, the secret you have to do for Europe is watch their savings rate. If they're truly in a deflationary environment, their monthly data should show their savings rates are going up. Why? They just think that refrigerator or that car is going to go lower in the next 6 months. So that's how you monitor Europe, just one figure. Watch it. The U.S. economy, you watch two figures, inflation rate, the core, the PCE that the Fed uses, it's only at 1.2%. And wage rates, below the rate of inflation, about 1.6% are lower, and it should be 3% or higher before the Fed gets nervous about inflation. What I just told you is that they should not increase interest rates this year. If they do, big mistake. And we could had a German grandmother growing up. Her favorite phrase translated was, if you don't think, you feel. So I hope we don't feel. Now, there's the map. You look to the right around the world. That's where the shale is around the world. And this is why, remember just a few years ago, these smart oil energy experts said, peak oil, it's reached the top. Boy, were they wrong. Bull. They have no faith in technology. And this is just, and soon, yes, it's going to take higher prices, it's going to take more technology, but it'll come. And this is not even adding in fusion technology, you know, fusion cell, batteries, etc. It's going to come. So that's the good side for agriculture, which is a big user of diesel fuel, etc. What are the Republicans going to do? Two words that I know Mary Kay talked about, resolute their budget. What are they going to do with their budget? And reconciliation is the key. Now, reconciliation, I'm not talking marriage counseling here, okay? This is where, if they have it, and they probably will, don't you think? Yeah. For the fiscal year that starts this October 1, the budget committees tell the various committees, in this case agriculture, this is how much you have to save. Now, we'll let you find the money. We'll let you find the money. But we're not necessarily going to count those algebraic type equations that you said you saved in the farm bill because they're already down 50%. So don't tell us you've already saved. And if you do that, you're going to lose faith amongst people who think in Washington, D.C., however minor the number is. Okay? Now, will Pat Roberts and Conaway protect, crop insurance? It depends on what the number is. They're going to try to do some SNAP, things, but it has to be balanced. Conservation program savings are probably more solid because in a lot of cases it's based on acres allowed into the program. And why do I say this is a growing importance? Because if prices go anywhere near where they could go the next few years, your October payouts, especially for corn and beans, and if they stay low for rice, are going to be huge. Let me just tell you a little stuff what's going on. The sharp farmers, they use those data maps already. This is how they're using big data now, okay? Illinois and Iowa people, and Minnesota especially, they have nothing else to do in the winter. They look at these maps. And once they figured out where the farm bill was going last spring, remember? It was done in June, right? They had enough thing where then big acreage guys, farmers who have farms in multiple counties, here's what happened. They looked at where the biggest yields were in those counties. Okay, that affects the county of revenue. It's called land transfers at the FSA county office. They transferred their farms to what looked to be a pretty good base for them for the 2014 and 2015 crops. It took FSA a couple of months to figure out what was going on, and they shut off additional land transfers until 2016. So that's a classic example. Oh, it's all legal. It's a classic example of not just agribusiness uses big data. The sharpest farmers do too. God bless America. Okay? They're going to maximize those payouts. Then let's go to another thing that's going to have WAPO payments is the significant change in payment caps. Now it's an aggregated payment cap. 125,000 individual, 250,000 combined husband, wife. So let's go 250. Now remember, in the last farm bill, the direct payments had a payment cap of $40,000. You double it for a spouse, $80,000. All my cousins farm in Southern Illinois. And they said, oh, you mean I can get up to $250,000 payments? Yep. Well, I'll leave less money on the table. So woe is not going to be me short term for a farmer the next 2 years. Now, they're not going to be made whole. You know, something about $5.50, $6 card price heals a lot of sins. But think through what this is going to be in the city papers and Ken Cook. He can get that data. And there are just going to be huge payouts. Then see how that's translated in a farmer's election. The smartest of the smart, and there's many smart farmers, they're figuring out, multiple, the big acreage guys, they're figuring out, okay, with their price parameters of how they'll think and looking at their county revenue, how many acres will they have to plant under ARC to maximize their payments, and they'll put all their other farms in PLC. Pretty smart. Because if that bear market continues low, if not lower, that's the best hedge around. Then they're protected. That's what's going on in farm country. Okay? Let's see. I won't talk cool. We're going to lose that. It'll be in April or May when the U.S. again will be told you lost, and we're going to have to come up with the way Congress is. Infrastructure, transportation spending. Obama has been right on this. The Republicans wrong in the element of you have to come up with the infrastructure bank or some other way to pay for the much-needed improvements in our transportation, railroad system, lock and dams, river systems, barges, etc., because the gas tax can't handle it. And so the Republicans will eventually come around to that, because transportation gave our system, ag system, the initial comparative advantage, but it needs billions and billions of dollars of improvement. The return to regular order in the Senate, it's very important. I hope I'm not naive after 38 years covering Washington, but I have pretty good faith in Mitch McConnell, the new majority leader in the Senate. He had polio as a kid for 2 years. Congress is nothing to him. That's just a little blip. He had the hurdles when he was young. He wants return to regular order. Now, which could impact agriculture because amendments. They're going to actually allow amendments. On this Keystone Pipeline bill, he allowed more amendments on that one bill, and it's early, than Harry Reid, the worst majority leader I've seen in my career, allowed all of last year. Now we may go back to how Congress should operate. Have bills go to subcommittees, then committee debate and votes, then you go on the House and Senate floor where you debate a bill and make it hopefully better. Now in the case of agriculture, in appropriation bills, that's going to lead to some contentious bomb-throwing amendments by the same people. You all know who they are, you know, Toomey, Shaheen, wanting to put a cap. Just expect that, but have your facts together in sound bites. It's coming, but I'm not going to argue against regular order. You'll get better legislation. Tax extender, Section 179, expensing, what we call the John Deere Amendment, okay? That's their number one lobby issue, okay? There's not many things I will guarantee you in Washington, 99.999%, that all these are going to be extended again sometime this year, at least for 1 year, if not two. Because until they're tied into tax reform, where they'll make some of these things, not all, permanent, especially 179 and 50%, you know, bonus depreciation, they won't make the biodiesel tax incentive of a dollar, permanent. That has to have a shelf life. Okay, we're into foreign policy now. This is a little update of a chart I had the last 2 years to you. And it's going the way. Actually, I will tell you only when I'm right, not when I'm wrong. Okay? We see key, at Informa, we see key market changes ahead this year and next year. What are those? Higher interest rates. Even an economist can get this one right. When they're at zero, they're going to go higher. Okay? How high? And with the impact on the dollar. It's already having an impact. You're seeing in the trade numbers right now. It won't make U.S. foreign products uncompetitive. It'll make them less competitive. So that's why we have to go through getting more creative, packaging, and all that other stuff in agriculture. Increased crop yield. It looks like we're at the beginning of another phase of higher yields now. Now, I didn't hear, I really wanted to hear, you know, you had Browning, right? To tell you how old I am, I used to interview her father, in the early Pro Farmer days. And she's quite a unique individual, sharp, okay? But that doesn't mean record yields every year. But the stack seed are maximizing themselves, you know? Now they're going into the full fruition. And I'll tell you, in my trips through Ohio and Illinois and Iowa in insurance, in hail insurance, the biggest thing the farmers want now is green stap protection. Yeah, if you're not selling those policies, you're not doing your job, because that's a heck of a lot more important to most farmers. In those states, Nebraska always has hail, okay? But green snap is important in farm country. So we're going to have increasingly bigger yields. Lower prices. How low? You tell me what the carryover is going to be, and we'll tell you within a range what that price is going to be. You're in a realizing bear market for soybeans. In other words, you haven't seen the lows yet. Corn, we're kind of, we'll have about 1.8 billion bushel carryover for this year, but a little decrease for 2016-17, 1.5 billion bushels. It sounds like a lot, and it is. However, when you look at the demand for corn, it's not burdensome. So we're going to see. I'll have an acreage chart later on of ranges that the private trade is looking at, and they're as wide as a six-lane expressway. But I'm going to look at whatever comes out March 31. Now, USDA, of course, was smart to put the ending date of the election on March 31. Stupid, okay? Now, I would never tell a farmer they're going to extend it. However, I agree with that question. They probably will. And I say something that really POs FSA offices. I tell the farmer, go in the last day, because you'll have more data. You'll know the plan. Or they can go in before. You can always change it up until the last date of sign up. And if that line is long at the FSA office, make sure you get on what we call the register. By law, by rule, they have to give you an interview later on to fill in the blanks. So why not have more data? Because they're going to have all the data they need for 2014 and a good look at 2015. Barometers, I told you last year, 2 years ago, and it's coming into play. I said, watch the farm equipment sales or the lack thereof, right? Two Fridays ago, John Deere announced, Wall Street Journal, 900 more jobs gone in Iowa and Illinois. And that will continue. As the bigger farmers say, my hedge on not $5 corn is I'm not going to buy that planter or a combine every year. That's $350,000, $450,000. Thank you. And when you really talk to ag bankers, they're more afraid. They're not as afraid of land values. They're really afraid of the equipment loans on their books. There's a lot of used equipment out there. I hope I'm wrong, but we could see an implosion and used equipment. Now, when I go to the Mid-South and Delta, not the Corn Belt, the bankers pull me to the side. There's hard conversations going on between the farmer, cotton, rice, etc., and their bankers. That the end of the elimination of direct payments was significant for the Mid-South and Delta. You can't put it into a cash flow. And this clearly favors, the corn and soybean belts. Mary Kay asked, I don't know what the intent of your question on cotton stacks, but yeah, cotton people are not hip, hip, hooray, you know. Now, a little interesting story. Cotton went under the loan rate a few months ago. started getting a lot of emails from the cotton producers I've known over the decades. And they go, you know, do you know that loan deficiency payments and marketing loan gains count against the payment cap? Yes. Big mistake in the farm bill. So I called up the Hill, House side first, since I trust them more. And stories there. And I said, why did you put a fundamental safety net, LDPs and marketing loans, God forbid if we ever get there in corn or soybeans, you won't have a meeting. why did you do it for cotton? Talk to the Senate Ag Committee, because they told Stabenow there's no chance cotton prices will get to the loan. So in my column, I said the only thing Stabenow knows, Michigan, about cotton is that Michigan State University has never played in the Cotton Bowl. Okay? That shows you how things can change. Now, what about the other crops in Mid-South and Delta on a cotton farm? If they're already reached their 250 to 500,000 cap, their corn or soybeans or milo, they're unprotected for that year. You see the significance there. They may not even know it. Very bad mistake on the farm bill. Land values, I got to say, they'll continue to come down. Another 15 to 25% depends on where at. The cash rents is what I'm asked about the most. And in surveys that I've seen over the last few years, including this year, if cash rents were $350 or above, they've gone down $50 an acre for both last year and this year. It looks like the sticky point is $280 an acre, where they'll go down maybe $10. That's about it. Although we're seeing more downturn in cash rents earlier than what history would have tended to suggest. Elimination of direct payments, I already went through. Movement to insurance programs. But here's another PR problem agriculture's going to have. Stabenow and others kept saying the biggest reform was the elimination of direct payments. They couldn't support that anymore. They lost the PR value of having to pay out those $4.8 billion every year. But it appears, from what we know right now, October payments after October 1 this year in corn and soybean country will equal at least 3 years of those direct payments, if not more, in 1 year. You think that's not going to be a PR spot, a hard spot to go through? What do you mean you've got? Well, of course. So, corn and soybean people are going to be happy relative to taxpayers' money. No safety net payments until October 2015, really hurting the Mid-South and Delta. Some delays in program rollouts. Brandon is a friend. And they've done a great job for what they've been given. I may quibble with them on APH, the law. Not that this administration follows the law, but the law says APH will be available. So I've told winter wheat producers, sign an addendum to the, and I'm no lawyer, sign an addendum protesting that decision, and you'll probably win in court. He flip-flopped to a degree on APH. Changes in payment caps I've already gone through. Actively engaged, it'll affect at the most 2% of farmers, but probably big in the Mid-South and Delta. There's a trend here, I'm saying here, Mid-South and Delta, okay? Then they wonder again why they're not winning any states in Mid-South and Delta. Vilsack said yesterday the USDA rule on this went over January 21st to the Office of Management and Budget. They have up to 90 days to review it. Of course, they'll take whatever time they want. It's called EPA, and it's called other agencies. But it will affect mainly general partnerships, limited or general partnerships. Dairy program. Only what, 52% of the dairy people signed up for the gross margin program. Now, they can go in every year, right? It's not like the corn or soybeans or rice that they have to select 1 year for 5 years. That was stupid, too. Oh, I know. The Aggies tell me, it's the budget, Jim. I said, cut something else. We don't even know what prices are going to be 2 weeks from now, let alone the weather. How can a farmer sign up for 5 years? Okay? Dairy people, it wasn't that too many years ago when we were losing them left and right with low prices. And this gross margin program is an effective one. It could even pay out this year. And they had an incentive to sign up, but only 52% signed up. I've told them in Ohio, only $100 it cost them to sign up, right? I said, my bar bills are higher than that. So what, you'd want $100? Sign up. It's protection. So that's my dairy. Here's the Farm Bill program options. ARC County is favored by most Midwest producers. One thing you learn is never give a specific recommendation of this program because the farmer knows his data. I will say that crop insurance agents are very much trusted by the producer. And I would tell them, don't hold back on giving their thoughts about the program, but it's the price assumptions and the county at which a producer resides in or land transfers that will make a difference. And don't use USDA's marketing year average price forecast or FAPRI's or the University of Illinois for sure. Use your own. And do different 2 to 3 to 4, you know, scenarios. Do some research to see how low you can go and how, if that would affect your election. If that's called risk management. But some crop insurance companies, I know a year ago, some, not the majority, the higher-ups in the crop insurance companies were getting a little timid about this, about the liability concerns. But I told them, don't change your pattern that you've had of almost absolute trust in the farming community because you know their operations. So give them your thoughts, but again, tell them it's their bottom line. PLC target prices are favored by most rice and peanut growers and some wheat producers. Again, it depends. PLC is favored by producers who like the SCO option, which is an unavailable choice if you take ARC. The price loss coverage best, the shallow loss in years 2016 to 18, if the marketing year average prices fall below 370 corn, 840 soybeans, and 550 wheat. We're more likely to be there in soybeans than any, and perhaps wheat, but you'll probably have a bull market in wheat once every 3 years. It's where wheat is grown now in the world, Kazakhstan, Russia, etc. So it depends on your price assumptions again. Using November's WASDE report from USDA, again, general. Our county payment would range between $36 to $79 per acre, PLC from zero at the high price to $65. That's just using a range of prices. You can do it. Soybeans from zero to $24 for ARC, zero for PLC. Now, it would appear to me that some soybean people wanted to keep that target price as low as possible. Just to me. Because maybe they favored ARC over PLC. Wheat, ARC County, 0 to 18. PLC, none. Sorghum, what is that? 0 to 26, 10 to 39. For the first time that I can remember, sorghum milo has a higher target price than corn. And sorghum is really getting good prices right now because they're increasingly being used in pet food because it's not GMO. Pet food people are running away. GMO corn, it's bad for you. It's not bad for you. But your pets, I'm not going to feed GMO to my cat. You know, I learned a long time ago with cats. When I went from cream milk to milk, they left. They just ran away. Look at rice, long grain rice. Nothing for ARC. PLC, $48 to $108. Now, here's one. This will be in the news now that I'm saying this, if reporters check it out. There was a report done by outgoing USDA top economist Joe Glauber and FAPRI economist, good guy, Pat Westhoff, of potential trade policy, you know, distortions of the new farm bill. And if I, and eventually it'll be in the Ag Economics Journal. And they tend to signal more potential problems with the PLC than the ARC because it caps out after 2 years. It just diminishes. But then the more I checked into this, when the U.S. Filed the WTO subsidies for 2012, I noticed a change, big time. They changed how they classified crop insurance premiums. No longer non-crop specific. Now a reporter, why did you do that? Because we would have hit the AMS maximum. Now, I don't know. It would be prudent for the Europeans to challenge that in a WTO. All I'm telling you is that there's WTO implications to this farm bill. And it appears to me that they went overboard in some of the safety net items. Next farm bill, economic environment at the time. Who are the players? When Pat Roberts, Pat Roberts was initially the ranking, it took Thad Cochran to come in to save the day for the Mid-South and Delta and get target prices into the program. Well, let me just tell you what the Mid-South and Delta. I called Pat Rod, a good friend of mine over the years. I really liked the guy. He'd been very good for crop insurance. He knows your industry. But I said, Mr. Roberts, why are you against target prices? I think they distort. And he said, besides, Jim, the ARC, it'll just go to the same producer. It'll just go for a different crop. Ooh. I said, but Mr. Roberts, in all due respect, what about the infrastructure, the marketing? What about the mills and the processing plants that have been built up over the years to fulfill the cotton gins, the rice mills, etc.? He went silent. And for Pat to go silent is something. Are you still on? You see, the infrastructure is important in this great business that we're in. So it looks like the Mid-South and Delta is being dealt some hammer blows in the last farm bill. Simplification. Now, I've been told to not call these decision aids spreadsheets. They're decision aids. Now, of course, taxpayers paid how much money? A little over $6 million, Mary Kay, to land-grant universities, mainly University of Illinois. Subcontract all over the place, Zulaw from Ohio and Texas A&M and FAPRI. And I have friends at both places. Joe Outlaw to me is the best economist in the land-grant university system. I prefer their decision aid far more than the University of Illinois. And I'm from Southern Illinois, by the way, okay? But I thought to myself, isn't that what they were supposed to do anyway, is educate? Something wrong here. Analysis. Now we're going to have a couple of years to analyze what worked, what didn't work. So I think that's good for a researcher. WTO challenges I've already talked about. Really brief now because I want to take some questions. EPA action. We have an inept agency called EPA. Reason? Look at the renewable fuel standard for corn and soybeans. By law, they're set this by law again. They were supposed to announce the renewable fuel standard volume requirements for 2014 by November 30th, 2013. That's not a mistake, 2013. They have still not announced it. And then a deputy administrator from EPA about a month ago told a hearing, this is a complex issue. In the private industry, he would have been fired. Okay. Go over farm bills. You think, this is complex. Do the farm bill. So, WOTUS, Farm Bureau has done a magnanimous job on this. Ditch the ditch and all that. This will not be implemented. They'll want to. They'll do it. They'll roll it out, but through appropriations, deny money for staff to implement it. This issue got Democrats and Republicans to agree on something, and that's hard to do in town. GMO labeling, I've said enough on GMO labeling. I think that issue can only be settled by the Supreme Court, because the foo-foo states, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire, California, they want to dictate. You know, I just came from California. The hen houses, the eggs, they were 40% to 60% higher. Now, if you're already conforming to those cages, you're getting a lot of good money. So, hen houses. Why call them Hiltons for hens? Okay. And then they have the gestation stalls, right? HSUS, Humane Society of the U.S. I do things like this. A month ago, I called HSUS up. And I go, are you the people who helped get these hen cages? Yes. Did you get at the hog industry for those gestation stalls? Yes. I have a favor. Yes, what can we do for you, sir? They're always young people, right out of school. I said, I really need your help on this one. You help that animal welfare. Have you ever ridden on a Delta plane? I want you to estimate how much room is needed for human welfare to sit in a Delta plane. Click, went the phone. Okay? That's just logical common sense. Where ride the planes now. Supreme Court, 4 people on the Supreme Court are older than me. So that means something's going to happen within the next few years. It's important. Here's the look at the corn and soybeans, wide ranges. 88 to 90 for 2015 for corn, 85 to 90 for soybeans. I have never seen Midwest corn and soybean growers unopen on their seeding expectations 50% or more. They have purchased seed for both. They always give back some, but they're going to give back a lot more seed this year. So what I just told you is that planting intentions report is going to be very volatile, or could be very volatile. Now, from a foreign policy perspective, if corn and soybeans combined are higher than the trade thought going into that report, I will conclude there was a farm policy impact. Because I've talked to some farmers, are you going to lower your corn seedings? Well, why should I? Why, some market prices? Well, I'm going to get this big payout. Why in the hell should I cut back on seeding? Now, Farm Bureau had a letter the first week of the farm many years ago that talked about potential moral hazards. I know some changed things. At the beginning, it was based on planted. Now it's based on base, so I'll be fair. But they said it could skew acres in some areas where the farmers may not see the market signal and still plant. We'll see. I don't know for sure. Cotton. Cotton has generic base. They're not happy because they're seeing with their price down, Milo, corn, or soybeans are being planted on their base. Okay? Farm income on the left side, 2013, this year, 2014, down 24%, but look at livestock receipts up $26 billion. Crop receipts down 25 billion. The baton is passed. Look at by region. When you have time, study these. Mid-South and Delta down almost 40%. These numbers don't lie. This is not an equitable market. This is not an equitable farm bill. And for those people to say it is, are wrong. Agriculture is still well-heeled. You know, debt-to-asset ratio. We're still in the golden era of U.S. agriculture. Said it several years ago, still believe it. But we're going to have to go through this transition period. Elections in 3 slides. Here we are again. I have the foggiest idea who's going to be the candidate on the Republican side. It's Hillary's to lose, again. And there's no Obama in the wings unless Elizabeth Warren runs. The liberals, the liberalist of the liberal. Okay? Republicans, I go 2 tiers. First tier is Jeb Bush and Scott Walker from Wisconsin. Second tier is Chris Christie and, Marco Rubio. Where's Rand Paul? He's really a libertarian. He's in the third party, you know. The establishment in the Republican Party will make sure he's not the candidate. Senate, at least 34 Senate seats are up for election in 2016. 24 Republicans and 10 Democrats. You would think the Democrats are going to regain control. But when you go through each election, not so. It could, and then it depends on the presidential candidate, who I think it will be Hillary. Who wins? Do they have any coattails? Etc. Okay? I've given you a lot of chutzpah, a lot of attitude. That's the way I see it. I'm going to stick with it. My email is my last name at gmail.com. I always end with, I know when I'm right, but I don't know when I'm wrong, and you have an uncanny ability to tell me. Okay? That's it. Any quick questions? Because I know you have to go golfing.
Right. Are you going to be around, Jim? Or are you
I will be around. My thing goes back to Fort Myers at 1:30. So I'm around. And okay. Use Uber whenever you can. It really works.
All right. I'm sensitive to the fact that we've got folks that have to
understand.
Get over to the course.
Understand.
So if I may.
Sure.
Sherry, why don't we have you wrap up? And then for those of you that like to capture, or Mike, excuse me, get with Jim, do so afterwards.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Always great. What'd you guys think? Good speakers?